Hello friends, my name is Beth Allison. I've been a speaker with KYB for nearly 16 years and I'm thrilled to give this introduction to the study Prayers of the Old Testament, Ancient Prayers for Modern People. The nine prayers we look at were prayed centuries ago by people of a different language and a different culture. Yet what really struck me as I was preparing the study is that their heartfelt cries are common to all people throughout all the generations. Cries like, "Where are you, God? Do you care about my suffering? Are you even listening? How long, Lord, do I have to wait for your answer?" And if you can relate to any of these cries of the heart, then this study is very much for you. But firstly, what is prayer? Prayer is a two-way conversation with God. It's not just speaking. Prayer is both speaking and listening. Prayer isn't dependent on formulas. It's not dependent on fancy words. And the Bible clearly tells us that God responds to anyone who comes to him in faith, believing that he hears and that he will answer. That's from Hebrews 11, verse 6. But that raises some questions. Why should we pray when God already knows our needs? And why does Jesus tell us to keep on praying when we've already made our requests known to God? Isn't that a bit like nagging God? And do our prayers really make any difference at all to what's happening in the world? Those types of questions go to the heart of prayer. I remember reading a book on prayer where the author said when we don't pray, God isn't disappointed in us, rather he's disappointed for us because we're shortchanging ourselves spiritually. Yes, God does already know our needs, and yes, he does want us to keep on asking. Why? Because God is love. And that means his highest priority is relationships. God's deepest longing is for each one of us to have a deep, intimate, trusting relationship with him. And that's why a life of listening prayer is so important for our spiritual health, because it nourishes our relationship with our Heavenly Father. Prayer keeps us connected with God. Prayer invites his Spirit to direct and guide us. When we open ourselves to God through listening prayer, we're actually partnering with God to see his kingdom come to earth. Firstly, in our own lives, prayer opens ourselves up to be changed by the Holy Spirit to become more like Jesus. It's the pathway to friendship and intimacy with God. But prayer is also the way we partner with God to see his kingdom come into the world. The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of prayer, guides us as to how to pray in seemingly impossible situations. And the Holy Spirit shows us what God wants us to do to achieve his purposes here on earth. When we pray, God both works in us and through us. The prayers in this study may be ancient, but there is such a timelessness to them. Same heart cries for help, for comfort, rescue or forgiveness, same desperate longings to be heard, same agonizing over sin, but above all, the same God who still listens, forgives, hears and acts when we pray. He is still the same God whose love and compassion never changes. What's clear from these Old Testament prayers is that we can pray in many different ways. Let's look now at some of those different types of prayer. Firstly, prayers of lament. I wonder if you've ever been so overwhelmed by a situation that you haven't even had the words to tell God how you're feeling. Your situation is just too painful. It's just too overwhelming. Well, that's Hannah's story. Hannah was unable to have children and she was beside herself with grief. We're told that Hannah wept bitterly before the Lord. She poured out her broken heart, but she was still praying. Hannah was praying because she was choosing to turn toward God in all her pain and all her brokenness and not walk away from him. And that's what's called a prayer of lament. God understands prayers of anguish when sometimes we don't even have the words to say. It's such a great comfort to know that when we don't have the words to pray, the Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit within us pleads on our behalf in harmony with God's will. That's from Romans 8, 26 to 27. And if you've ever been angry with God, then you're in good company. Job and Jeremiah didn't hold back from telling God what they thought about him. Job actually felt that all his suffering and loss was so unjust that he even questioned God's ability to rule the world fairly. The great prophet Jeremiah swung between despair and faith, between trust and torment, because the prophetic ministry that God had given him brought such terrible opposition and persecution. But Hannah, Job, and Jeremiah all knew that turning away from God wasn't an option. It was better to keep seeking God in the dark places, in the desperate hope that somehow, somewhere, God would turn up. And he did, for all three of them. The wonderful truth is that God will never reject us when we come to him with our questions, with our anger, and with our complaints. The key is that in our desperate state, we turn toward God and not away from him. And then there are prayers of confession and repentance. In Psalm 66, verse 18, the psalmist says, "If I hadn't confessed the sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened to my prayer." Sin is partly what we do or do not do, but sin is also who we are. We all have a sinful nature, and the Bible is very clear that sin grieves the heart of God. Sin hinders our prayers. It breaks our closeness with God and hinders the work of the Holy Spirit within us. When King David was confronted about his adultery with Bathsheba, he didn't try to deny it. He didn't try to defend himself. But in a brutally honest prayer in Psalm 51, David confessed and repented of his sin. And he asked God not just to forgive him, but also to create in him a clean and a pure heart. David knew that he would continue to sin unless God helped him and renewed him from within. Psalm 51 is a powerful prayer for all of us. When we're born again, God declares us to be as holy and as blameless as Jesus. But the reality is we do sin. We act selfishly, we speak unkindly, we can be reluctant to forgive or quick to take offence. And God wants us to come to him quickly and frequently to own up to where we've done wrong and to ask him for forgiveness. I love the assurance of 1 John 1:9 that says when we confess our sins to God, God is faithful and just and will both forgive us and cleanse us. And that's the key to dealing with condemnation and guilt and shame. Come quickly to God to confess our sin and to receive his forgiveness and his cleansing. May the confession of Psalm 51 become a regular part of our devotional life, so that we can walk in peace, we can walk in spiritual and emotional freedom. And then there are prayers of praise. King Jehoshaphat was facing total destruction by the enemy, and it would have been so easy for him just to give in to crippling fear or despair. But instead, Jehoshaphat prayed this powerful prayer of dependence and faith. With an enemy army bearing down on him, he stops and he prays and says, "Oh God, we don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you." God assured them of success, but do you remember how they actually defeated the enemy? It was through praise and worship. Singing praises to God doesn't deny our very real struggles and fear. It doesn't deny the situation we're in. But praise shifts our focus from ourselves onto our great God, who is mighty to save and rescue us. A friend recently told me of her experience of praise as she was about to open up a link on her phone to check the results of a CT scan, and I retell this story with her permission. She said, "As I went to click on the link, a worship song suddenly started to play on my phone. I don't recall ever playing that song on my phone. And here are the words to the song. You deserve the glory and the honour. And we lift our hands in worship as we praise your holy name. For you are great. You do miracles so great. There is no one else like you. My friend said, I never did look at my results. I just let the song permeate my spirit. I knew the Lord had reached down from heaven to remind me that he was going to be with me no matter what the results were. As it turned out, my friend's cancer had returned after a 10-year remission. And my friend said, God knew my story before I did, and he had a way through it. It was the way of praise and worship. And my friend said this way of praise and worship just increased her faith and increased her confidence, not only in God's presence, but also in his miracle-working power. Jehoshaphat's prayer is a great lesson in not allowing fear to have the final word. We need to choose to praise God. We need to choose to fill our minds and fill our homes with songs of praise that remind us of God's unchanging character and his power to make a way when there seems to us to be absolutely no way. And praise in the midst of the storm also gives us eyes to see where God already is at work, even though we're still not through the crisis. That was Jonah's experience. For Jonah, being inside a fish wasn't exactly the safest of places to be, but it was certainly better than drowning. And that's why Jonah prayed his prayer of thanks and praise while he was still in the fish. God had helped him thus far, and that gave Jonah hope that God would continue to rescue him. I love the words to the song, I Choose to Worship. I will praise you through the fire, through the storm and through the flood. There is nothing that could ever steal my song. In the valley, you are worthy. You are good when life is not. You will always and forever be my song. And then the study looks at prayers that boldly stand on God's word and character. It's hard when you've given your all in ministry to serve others, and then those people turn on you when the going gets tough. And that was Moses' story. But in a prayer of extraordinary humility and selflessness, Moses prayed that God wouldn't destroy the people as he threatened, but rather that God would forgive them their sin and rebellion because of God's great love. Listen to how Moses prayed. Please, Lord, prove that your power is as great as you have claimed. For you said that you're slow to anger and filled with unfailing love, forgiving every kind of sin and rebellion. I so love this prayer. Moses is quoting God's own words back to him. For you said, Lord. Moses is saying, Lord, please act toward Israel according to who you have declared yourself to be in your word. It's powerful when we pray God's words back to him. And that's what Daniel did centuries later when he reminded God of the promise God had given to the prophet Jeremiah that the Israelites would be released after 70 years of captivity. Daniel discovered that the 70 years were nearly up, and Daniel knew that the most effective prayer was to pray that God would do what he had promised to do. Now, praying God's word, of course, doesn't guarantee we'll get the exact answer we're wanting. As we pray, God may change our desires, or God may change the way we pray. And that's why we need to learn to listen for the voice of God. But the starting off point is that God is a promise-keeping God, and he loves it when we pray his own words back to him. For example, God has promised to give us a hope and a future. He's promised to replace weeping with joy. God has promised to be our ever-present help in time of trouble, to supply all our needs. God has promised to forgive us, to always be with us. And that's why it's so important that we marinate our minds in God's word. The more we know God's character and promises, the more confident we can be in praying his word back to him. A question which is often asked in relation to prayer is, but how do we know that we're praying according to God's will? Now, clearly that's no problem if God says yes. Fantastic. We just need to remember to thank God for his goodness and his faithfulness. Solomon's story is a really sober reminder that we should never take answered prayer for granted. God answered Solomon's prayer for wisdom, and Solomon used it to great effect. But later in life, he squandered the gift, and his end is such a tragic one. Answered prayer is a gift of grace, and we must never lose our gratitude for all the ways God has answered our prayers. But probably more often than we would like, God delays his answer. He asks us to wait, and we're not very good at waiting, are we? I often have to remind myself that in my finite thinking, God appears to be late in answering my prayers, but the Bible reassures me that God is actually always on time. But why the delay, often to our most urgent of prayers? Often God wants to teach us something, and that's why listening to his voice is so important. In her waiting, Hannah learned the priceless lessons of surrender and of trust. I'm absolutely sure for Hannah the longings to be a mother were still there. But deeper still was a God-given peace and faith that God was good and he would indeed work out his perfect purposes. When Jehoshaphat prayed, God, we don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you. Jehoshaphat didn't then immediately mobilize the army. No, he and all the people waited for the Lord to speak. And God did through a prophetic word. This story of Jehoshaphat is such a lesson in learning not just to make our requests, but to take time to be still, to take time to intentionally wait and listen for God's voice. God may speak to us through his word, through a strong impression or conviction. God may speak to us through circumstances, through others, or through nature. But what's so important is that we don't just make our requests to the Lord and then rush out of the house, rush through the day, drop exhausted into bed at night and then wonder, Lord, why aren't you speaking to me? He is, but are we listening? Sometimes, like King David, God wants to highlight something within us that's grieving the Holy Spirit, such as unforgiveness, anger, jealousy. And remember, God only ever sheds a spotlight on those things because he wants us to reflect the character of Jesus. After all, we're a new creation, and listening prayer is key to allowing the Holy Spirit to transform us bit by bit, day after day, month after month, into becoming more and more like Jesus. And that's why God didn't give up on Jonah, who was angry that God would be so compassionate and so forgiving to the Ninevites, whom Jonah believed should never be shown such mercy. God loved Jonah despite Jonah's disobedience, incredible anger and sulking. And God certainly didn't give in to Jonah's demands, just as God doesn't give in to our demands. But rather God held a continuing prayerful conversation with Jonah, patiently rescuing him and challenging him about his faulty beliefs. It's so tantalizing because we actually don't know how Jonah turns out. But I think that's deliberate. It challenges us to ask ourselves some deep questions as we wait for answers to our prayer. What are we learning in the waiting? How are we changing? What are we learning about ourselves? What are we learning about God? Are we listening? And are we responding to the prompts of the Holy Spirit? As we listen and respond, we can become more certain of what God wants for us. Perhaps through our prayers, God wants to give us a greater revelation of himself. I'm very impacted by Job. Job never got an explanation to his questions or to his terrible suffering, but he had an encounter with God. His spiritual eyes were opened. Job journeyed deeper into faith. into knowing God more intimately, and for Job, that was enough. Some of you may remember Betty Cuthbert. She was an Australian athlete and four-time Olympic champion. Betty died in 2017. Later in life, Betty developed multiple sclerosis, and people encouraged her to seek prayer for healing. Betty later said, "Well, I did seek prayer for healing and I wasn't healed, but I met the healer. But I met the healer." At times in our prayers, we will be confronted with the mysteries of God. But the prayers of Job and Jeremiah challenge us not to trade our intimacy with Jesus for questions that just may not be answered this side of eternity. But what if God says no to our prayers? He clearly shuts the door. We don't get the job. We aren't healed. We don't marry the person that we'd so long to marry. Our marriage is not able to be saved. It's never easy to let go of our hopes and our dreams. But one thing I've learned through my own disappointments in unanswered prayer is to keep on trusting God. That although the future may not be what we've expected, because of who God is, our life is safe in his hands. God has promised he will rebuild the shattered ruins. He has promised that he will work everything for good, for his glory and for our very best. That's from Romans 8:28. Despite the situation we may find ourselves in, here's the truth about God and his character. He remains unchangingly trustworthy and good. But unless God has clearly closed the door, we follow the encouragement of Jesus to keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking, to keep on pounding that door. Such persevering prayer tells God we're genuine. It tells God that this is not just a casual or half-hearted request. It tells God we're not going to give up until somehow, somewhere, and in some way, God answers our prayer. There's something about shameless persistence in prayer that touches the heart of God. It's a mystery that God maintains control of history, and yet in some way our prayers play a role in accomplishing God's eternal purposes. In his grace, God has chosen to involve us in the fulfilling of his plans and promises. What a privilege and what a responsibility we've been given to plead before God for our nation, for our friends, our family, our neighbours, just as Moses and Daniel did on behalf of the Israelites. As royal priests, we're called to stand in the gap on behalf of a needy world. But how urgently do we want to reach those within our circle of relationships? How urgently do we want to see God move in our nation, in the world? We need to get on our knees. We need to be a praying people, a praying church, a praying KYB group. One of the most profound ways we can love someone is by praying for them. I wonder how many of us have ever thought that a situation is just impossible. Well, as our 9 Old Testament prayers discovered, when we pray, we lift our needs into the hands of the one who is able to do more than we can ask or imagine. When we pray, for example, for people's salvation, we're lifting the work of mission above often seemingly impossible circumstances into the hands of the one who governs everything. Prayer is shifting our focus from the natural to the supernatural. There are 3 things we can be certain of in relation to prayer. Firstly, as followers of Jesus, we're commanded to always pray and never give up, never lose hope. That's from Luke 18, verse 1. Never stop praying, says Paul. Prayer is key to developing an intimate, transforming relationship with God, where we are partnering with God to see his kingdom come. And then secondly, we're told that Tremendous power is released through the passionate, heartfelt prayer of a godly believer. That's James 5:16. So we need to take God at his word and come boldly before God's throne of grace with our prayers. And thirdly, God remains solidly in control of our lives and our world. That should give us confidence not only in the one to whom we pray, the one who governs everything, but also how we pray. Never forget, ours is the prayer, God's is the power. Ours is the prayer, God's is the power. And don't let Satan convince you that you haven't got enough faith. The essence of faith is to place our confidence in God. When we make God the object of our trust, we're exercising faith. Can I encourage you, as we come to the end of this introduction, to spend a few minutes in prayer? There are two requests that I think would be great to ask the Lord as we work through this study. Firstly, ask the Lord to give you new insights that will strengthen your prayer life. And secondly, ask the Lord to lay on your heart those people he specifically wants you to pray for during this study, and ask him to guide you in how to pray for them. It would be good to write down these two prayer points somewhere in your study book and pray that prayer, those two prayers, from time to time during the term. Lord, give me new insights to strengthen my prayer life. And who do you want me to pray for specifically during this study? And please show me how to pray for them. Write those prayer requests down. Don't forget to take time to listen. Write down whatever you believe the Holy Spirit is saying to you. And at the conclusion of the study, look at what you've written. See how the Lord has answered your prayer. Well, God bless each one of you on this prayer journey. There's no doubt that prayer takes time. It takes discipline. It's a choice whether or not we'll pray. And prayer is certainly not always easy. But prayer where we both speak and listen, is key to a living, growing relationship with God. Prayer steadies us when life gets tough. Prayer positions us to be used by God. God's kingdom is advanced chiefly by prayer. And may these 9 Old Testament prayers give us a fresh hunger to rediscover the power of prayer. Let's pray. Father, we would ask that you would give us a desire to pray. Please fill us with your powerful spirit of prayer, so that your heart for the kingdom becomes our heart and your will becomes our will. May our prayers see your kingdom come, both in us and through us, to a needy world. We just declare that yours is the power and the glory for ever and ever. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.